Lord, we want to thank you so much that you allow us to do so many unique things at unique times. You always have. And you've shown us favor as a congregation. We want to pray that you will speak through 1 Peter as we look at these verses and compare them to our lives and to the world around us, how we can mature as a spiritual man or a spiritual woman and grow in our knowledge of you. I'd like to thank you for these young men over here in the back row that gave their heart to you last Sunday that have come back again this week. May you bless them. It reminds me if somebody would have grabbed me at their age, a lot of hurt could have been stopped in the world. And I pray for those young men. You'd raise them all up to be preachers of the gospel. Lord, we thank you for our country and we pray for it. We're in dire straits. And a lot of the quote-unquote leadership is giving up hope. And we would like to just thank you for what you've given us. And if we can be used to restore and strengthen and lift your name above all names in our country once again, just call upon us, Lord. And we ask now that what St. Peter had to write down was important. And we pray that it'll help us. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. We are in 1 Peter, the 4th chapter, the 7th verse, if you'd like to turn there in your Bibles. 1 Peter, 4th chapter, and we're at verse 7, moving towards the end today. 1 Peter, chapter 4, verse 7. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore be strong. And be sober, or serious is another word some of your translations have. Be watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling, as each one has received a gift. Minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And if anyone speaks, let him speak after the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom alone belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, to test you, as though some strange thing has just happened to you. Instead, rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. Now, if you're reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you. I'd like to point out what Peter says here, that but the end of all things is at hand. Now, in the original language, we changed it to be, but the end of all things is at hand. But to those people, it was really emphatic. Of all things, everything that he's talked about in the previous four chapters, of all things, the end is near. So he tells us to do something. Knowing that the end is near, he asked the reader to change their lifestyle. But the end of all things is at hand. So therefore, this is what you should do. You should be sober. Serious is another translation. And watchful in your prayers. Now this word for serious, or in some of your translations, the word sober, truly is sobriety of mind. Be sober. Have a sobriety of mind without drunkenness, without losing your mind to some chemical or to some drug. Because the end is near, we should all be awake and aware of everything going on around us, Peter is saying. We should not be living just myopic views of a world as big as we can see through our two eyes. He said, be sober, be serious. Since the end is near, what is it that we can do with our lives to glorify God? Because if the end is near, we're going to be with him instantly. It says in Thessalonians that the Lord himself will descend from heaven with the shout of the archangel and the sound of the trumpet. The dead in Christ will rise first, but those of us that are alive and remain shall be caught up in the air, always to be together with him. There are a lot of people that say they believe in God, but they don't fear him, nor do they respect him or tremble at his presence. You don't want to be one of those people. You want to be one that is in awe that he loves you and that he's forgiven you and given you a chance to be a spiritual woman or a spiritual man. And until the day you stop breathing, you want to commit yourself totally to him. Because once you leave this body, you don't get to come back and do it over again. You will be in his presence or out of his presence. So in closing out his letter, he says, this is the most important thing of all things. The end is drawing very close. It is near the end. And so what do? We become sobriety of mind. We become sober people. We're not getting high. We're not getting drunk. We're not getting addicted. And we're watching in our prayers. Watching in your prayers. Think of that for a moment. Have you ever watched in your prayers? When your eyes are closed, usually you pray, but sometimes you can be driving and praying. You keep your eyes open. But as you're praying and the Spirit is causing you to pray, you can watch what's going on in your prayers. What is the pattern? What is your heart talking about? You know, there was a movie that made so many Academy Awards. I saw it in London the first week it was released, and I said to a person next to me from London, a business person, I said, listen, you probably know these people that make this film, and if this doesn't get released in America, would you find out if we could get it? It's called Chariots of Fire. It's a great movie. It just went around the world, and it shared the true story of Eric Little, one of the best athletes ever in the Olympics. And he ran for the glory of God. And he wouldn't run on Sunday because he believed Sunday was the Sabbath, and he took the Sabbath off. He could have won a gold medal. And the American runner, I believe his name was Jackson Schultz, the 100-yard dash man, or 110 meters, he came to him, and he knew that he couldn't outrun Eric Little. And he got the gold medal because Eric stayed away from working on the Sabbath. So on the next day, when they were getting into the blocks, ready to get down into the dirt and get ready to sprint, Jackson Schultz walked up to him and gave him a piece of paper, smiled. You might remember that scene. He opened the note and it said, 1 Samuel, da, da, da. He who honors my word, I shall honor. And of course, Eric got the gold medal and whatever that was. He promised God that he'd be a missionary to China, when there were no missionaries, basically, to China, only a handful. And he had to finish one last athletic effort in Japan. And he ran the fastest he ever ran, came around past the Japanese, might have been Hirohito, the guy in charge, the emperor. He did not stop and get his medal or his wreath on his head. He ran right out of the stadium, right down to the docks at the pier, and ran right up the walkway to the ship, and they pulled the walkway, and the ship headed for China, and he never looked back. He gave himself totally to China for the glory of God. Now maybe you're holding on to something, and you're really good at it. But is it your God more so than God who gave you the talent to be able to get to where you are? Because all things come from our Father above, in who there is no variableness nor shadow of turning. He doesn't cast a shadow. He is light. He dwells in a light that's unapproachable by men, the Bible says. And God would ask us, since above all things, when you know the end is near, then have your mind so clear of sobriety, just a crystal clear thinking process going on, that you are going to be able to hear his voice and do what he would ask of you. And what does he say here? Your prayers. The end of all things, so be watching in your prayers. Love your neighbors. Love all of your friends with a fervent love, not just phony love, because love will cover a multitude of sins. There's a key to living right there. Love. Love will cover a multitude of sin. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. You see, you and I aren't to glorify ourselves. We're to be stewards, and a steward is one that is a servant. And that servant looks after, for instance, Bill Gates from Microsoft. He has a security team all to himself, that they're ahead of him and they're with him and they're behind him and they're at the next hotel and they've already months been out ahead of him, or the President of the United States. But yet his wife, Melinda, has a whole different security team. And that team just watches her and any of the family members that come to stay at the house. Now they have a house here in San Diego. They have houses up in the Seattle area. They have them all around the world. But the stewards are the ones that are looking after the house. Some are looking after the silverware and cleaning and washing and doing windows and vacuuming. And others are over the cars and they're stewards and they keep those cars running perfectly. And others are the managers of the wealth and the asset. So the family can just go on and be normal because you've got all these stewards that they trust. So you have been given something. But here's what happens in our country. Greed is very, very big in our country. And we know there's an ostentatious way of greed with lots of bling and waste. But greed shows up even in the quietest church mouse people. Just if you can get one more, like they asked Howard Hughes before he died, the richest man in the world at that time, how much money is enough money? And without missing a beat, Howard Hughes said, just one more dollar. Just one more dollar. Is there something that you're chasing like that? Just and you're missing life, which is in him. And he opens up your eyes and you can look and you can see and you can watch and you can hear and you can pray, talk with him, and he can change things. You have a lot of power. God's given you abilities. Each of us have. But are we a steward of those gifts, or are we wasting our gifts? You have a gift of ministration, but is it being wasted on foolishness? You've been gifted with money, but is it showing up in the casinos? One of the signs of the return of Jesus Christ is a loss of natural affection. When people lose sight that humanity is what it's all about, they don't deserve to live anymore. Because it's not about what we believe. It's about the Lord. And he takes with what he has taught us to transplant into somebody else, to love them and be a witness that he can go anywhere, anytime, and he can bless. Ladies and gentlemen, our God is the only God. There was no God formed before him, he says, nor will there be after him. I am that I am, saith the Lord. My hand spans the universe. I put the stars out into the heaven, clothed in blackness. I call them by name, and I've numbered each and every one of them. Is anything too hard for me, saith the Lord? No, not really. But we call upon God when we're in trouble. We don't sing to him when we're driving down the freeway anymore. We don't talk to him continually. Only when we need something or we're in trouble. A revival has to come to our country or we're dead. There are plans to disrupt us. In less than 24 months, I give us. Unless the church wakes up and repents of her sins, our country is gone. Evilness, never seen before on the face of the earth, has come. And the church better wake up. No, above all, the end times are here, so watch in prayer. Be serious and sober-minded. And love people with all of your hearts, with a fervent heart. Over to verse 6 before we leave. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Now that verse is a basic Christian verse. that somebody should have helped you memorize your first month as a Christian. Read that out loud together with me. Verse 7. Casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. That word for care is our word anxiety. Take all your worries and all of your anxieties that you have right now. No job, insurance is due, check bounced, whatever, family's falling apart. Those are anxieties and worries that you have never been called to carry. That's why you give them to Him, because He cares for you. So all of us, take whatever we're worrying about right now and say, oh God, take this. Worry's a sin. It means we don't trust Him. And we get so full of anxiety at times and worry about things that we forget to even pray and say, God, help me with this. We think we're going to work it out. And we're not. I'd like us to bow our hearts right now and just take a few moments, just privately, just think about some things that you're worried about right now. Look at whatever they are, 3 or 4 things maybe, 5, 6. You're worried about this. You're worried about that. You're anxious about this. Just look at them right now. Be watchful in your prayer right now and look at those things. And just say, God, would you please take these from me? Please. I'm sorry I've got to this place that these are bothering me. I cannot handle them. I confess to you, Lord, that this worry gets more of my attention than you do. I want to cast my cares upon you, as this scripture says, because you care for me. So give it to Him right now. Just let it go. Just let it go and don't take it back. Cast all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. So be a sober-minded person. Be vigilant, because your adversary, and that's who the devil is, the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the entire world. It's not just you that suffers. But may the God of all grace, who called us to His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, make you perfect, establish you, strengthen you, and settle you. That's what He wants to do. When you come through these worries, He's going to perfect you and establish you and strengthen you. And He's going to settle your heart. To Him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Now, this is written by a man named Silvanus, not the guy that made Sylvania televisions and light bulbs. Silvanus, our faithful brother, as I consider him, I have written to you briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God in which you stand. Now she, who is in Babylon, elect together with you, greets you, and so does Mark, my son. Babylon, greet one another with a kiss of love and peace to you all who are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Babylon is being rebuilt. And all through the end of the book of Revelation, it talks about Babylon. And everybody has looked at America being Babylon that is destroyed in 1 hour. But they are rebuilding Babylon, the center of world history. And they want it to be a money market. And when I heard that, I thought, oh my goodness, I got to look at Revelation all over again. It's right before our eyes. It's before our eyes. Our borders are not safe for a reason. We know that Al-Qaeda is in Juarez, Mexico, and coming across to El Paso. We know they're in Tijuana. We know there are probably 35 training centers now in America. And our government just sits back and lets them come and lets them come. Be sober-minded, because the end is near means be vigilant and alert with your life. And don't get trapped, because when Jesus comes, it's without any warning. He's given signs and times of the seasons, but no man knows the hour. But He has warned us. And I'm blowing the trumpet right now to say, don't fall asleep, the body of Christ is getting ready to be removed from the planet. One, by our adversary, the devil, and two, by the rapture of the church. So please, spend more time than you ever spent with the Father and pray and talk to him and confess your weaknesses and ask for his strength and his love and share him wherever you go. And don't be ashamed to be a Christian. Count it all joy when you suffer. And we have brothers and sisters that are not only suffering in one area, they've disappeared by 1,500,000. And nobody has said a thing about it. Let's stand and let's pray. Lord, as we cast our cares upon you, we realize that the next thing you said was just be aware that our adversary is roaming like a lion. He's not a lion, he's a fake. And then once we've given our cares away, you've now given us some strength to resist him steadfast. That now we can get on with what life is about and we can help those that are suffering. We want to be the ones, as Peter said, to you be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. And we want to be strong in you. Please, dear Lord, make our commitment to be a true commitment to you and empower us to be humbled in your sight. And let us be a people with no worries. Let us be the people that hand over all anxiety to you. And let us be the people say thank you that you even care for us. And so we pray you'll lift our eyes up unto the harvest fields that are white unto harvest. And as Jesus said, the laborers are few. So we pray to you, the Lord of the harvest, that you would send laborers into these fields as your return is so near, that we would be about your business, loving people and helping those that can't help themselves. So bless Horizon Christian Fellowship. Baptize us afresh, all of us, with the power and the presence and the person of the Holy Spirit. Let your Spirit unplug our spiritual veins and arteries. Let our heart flow with your love. Lord God Almighty, let us be right before you and not living behind a hypocritical mask of religion. Let us be raw and on the cutting edge, as heaven is calling out to us now. And the whole world knows that something is coming. And we pray it's you. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. We pray that our lives will be hearts of fire, souls of fire, lives of fire, warm, not by the fires of the world, but by your word in our prayers. Bless every family member that is represented here. Lord, when I think of that man missing 71 of his family and the other families that told me their moms are gone and their sisters are gone and their brothers are gone. Help us love our brothers and our sisters and our family like never before, to be grateful that we have a family intact. And Lord, if we have the wrong leaders, move them out and put in strong, godly people that would stand for truth and defend those that need help. So Father, we have it so good, the least of us in this meeting. It just doesn't seem right that we wouldn't be sober-minded and concerned for your will of what we can do to help other people. So bless our city. Bless it with safety and peace. Provide for our fire departments and our police officers the money that they need for their jobs. Provide and protect our mayor and our supervisors and our city council. Pour out your blessings that if there's any evil that is designed for our city, you would thwart it right now and stop it. And in Jesus' name, we would stand together believing and trusting that you will keep our city safe and that Jesus would be number one in our city and your kingdom could move freely in our city. So Father, use us to be these people Peter has asked the early church to be. And here we are with the same situations they faced. Come quickly, Lord Jesus, we pray. And may the Lord bless you, may he keep you, may he cause his face to shine upon you this week. May you see him and feel his good pleasure in your heart, that you know he's there with you, he's listening. May you see answered prayers. May you redirect your prayers. Maybe you're giving prayers of direction, telling God what to do for you, as opposed to tell the Lord he can do whatever he wants with you. But may your worries truly vanish, the anxieties. Let them go. There's bigger fish to catch. There's more to do than what you're doing. There are people that desperately need you. And if it's right here, if it's in Jerusalem or Judea, throughout the county, through Samaria, the United States and its territory, or the uttermost parts of the world, to these Christian people that have nothing in Iraq. Let this be the best week of your life. As spring is breaking forward, your heart breaks forward in revival and a refreshing time in the presence of the Lord. God bless you.